This is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is scheduled to meet North Korean leader Kim Jong-un Sunday in Pyongyang, his fourth trip to the North this year. President Donald Trump last week pointed to a second summit with the North Korean leader following the first June summit held in Singapore. Plans for a late August trip by Pompeo were canceled amid growing concerns over a lack of progress toward the North's denuclearization. But State Department spokesperson Heather Nauer Tuesday spoke of forward progress.
We continue to have these conversations, and I think it shows forward progress and momentum that the secretary is making his fourth trip back in less than a year. The first, of course, was as CIA director. This will be his third as Secretary of State. And that shows the president's commitment to the agreement that he and Chairman Kim came to at the Singapore summit.
North Korea's foreign minister told the UN last week international sanctions presented an impediment to his government's goodwill gestures of ending nuclear missile testing and dismantling a nuclear test site. But now it signaled no change in U.S. policy.
Sanctions remain in full effect, not just the United States sanctions, U.N. Security Council resolutions, and the other countries that fully backed those Security Council resolutions. All of that remains in effect. We are not easing the pressure in that regard at all.
Pompeo is also scheduled to visit South Korea, Japan, and China during his trip. In Beijing, he's expected to discuss bilateral, regional, and global issues with his Chinese counterparts. The visit comes amid economic and security tensions between the U.S. and China. First Lady Melania Trump embarked on a week-long four-country visit to Africa Tuesday with a stop in the Ghanaian capital, Accra. She was greeted by her Ghanaian counterpart, Rebecca Akufo-Addo, and a welcoming ceremony of drums and dancers. The American First Lady visited child health facilities and met caregivers. She's focusing on her BPES campaign aimed at improving children's well-being. This is VOA News. On Indonesia's Sulawesi Island, time is running out as rescuers dig through debris for survivors from Friday's 7.5 magnitude earthquake and tsunami that left more than 1,200 dead and hundreds injured. Hundreds more are still missing. Tens of thousands have been displaced. The natural disaster felled apartment buildings, shopping areas, and entire neighborhoods. Roads and bridges are damaged or impassable, making access to isolated communities difficult. Matthew Cochran is with the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies.
The situations that the team described are incredibly difficult. It took them 1.5 hours to carry each of the bodies out to nearby ambulances, having to wade through incredibly deep mud. The sense from the teams who are working there, from colleagues on the ground, is one of real frustration. The access issues that my colleagues have spoken about are very difficult to overcome. There are still large areas of what might be the worst affected areas that haven't been properly reached, but the teams are pushing, they're doing what they can.
The government is attempting to airlift humanitarian supplies in and attempting to beef up security to guard against looting. According to the Moroccan Navy and Spanish charity Walking Borders, at least 34 migrants, all of them from Africa, died in the shipwreck of their damaged inflatable boat in the Western Mediterranean, apparently trying to reach Spain. Their boat was found adrift Sunday. Russia said it was delivering advanced S-300 surface-to-air missiles to Syria. Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu said the deployment, including four missile launchers, is aimed at protecting Russian military personnel. Moscow decided to deploy the advanced system after an older Syrian missile battery mistakenly shot down a Russian reconnaissance plane with 15 people on board. In Ethiopia, tens of thousands fled ethnic violence in the west. The violence erupted Friday in the Benishangul Gumuz region after several local officials were killed during a visit to the neighboring Oromia region. In Afghanistan Tuesday, at least 13 were killed, more than 30 wounded, when a suicide bomber blew himself up at an election rally in eastern Nangarhar province ahead of this month's oft-delayed parliamentary election. In Armenia, Tuesday, thousands gathered outside parliament in the capital Yerevan, led by Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan, demanding early elections. The former opposition leader is opposed to a delay in carrying out elections approved by Parliament in June. The U.S. Central Bank Chairman Jerome Powell Tuesday said he's upbeat about the outlook for the U.S. economy. U.S. stocks hit another record high Tuesday, the benchmark Dow Jones closing up another 122 points to 26,773. Major automakers in the U.S. reported a steep decline in new vehicle sales, but Fiat Chrysler bucked the trend, gaining 15%. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.